It's a WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Road trip.
Business trip.
I'm sorry. Here at Citi Field. We're at Citi Field leading you all the way up to the game. When you're hearing the game here on WIP, by the way, this segment brought to you by Groundworks. Don't let a weak foundation sack your home's value. Schedule a free inspection at groundworks.com. One of the voices that you will hear on that broadcast joins us now, Kevin Stocker. Thank you. Appreciate you coming by.
Hey guys, I just sat down. I noticed you guys are wearing red socks up here.
Yes, sir.
Is that in purpose? What about you, Jack?
I got it.
Wait, bro. Not just red.
Oh, you got Philly socks.
I just went with the shoes and the heart socks. Red
not
and blue.
I learned a whole lot about you guys.
So, Kevin, I have to tell you, I was in the car at one point. I think we were coming back from vacation, my wife and I. And we're listening to the game, and you're talking. And I mentioned something that you said, and she said, "Who is that?" And I said, "Oh, it's Kevin Stocker." She got very excited. And don't worry, this is not a bad story. So
Thanks.
So I was like, "What's that?" And she said, "Oh, I saw his first game when I was 9 years old. It was extra innings, I think. I guess she looked it up. It was a 20-inning game that you played every inning of."
Right.
And I said, "Hey, you seem particularly excited for that." And she's like, "Well, I had a crush on him and Milt Thompson when I was 9. So there you go. So hearing your voice.
So great.
Do you remember the 20-inning game?
Of course I do. It was my first big league game ever. And, there were so many things. 20 innings. I had a little bit of everything except a hit. 0 for 6, walk. I made a really nice play to extend the game, sack bunt. What I remember is we came in at 1:30 after the game, 1:30 in the morning, and high-fiving, Crux high-fiving. And I'm like, "This is great." Go to the locker, strip on down to the T-shirt, down to the underwear, the flip-flops, and I get a tap on my shoulder. True story. And it's Dennis Mankey, the hitting instructor, and he says, "Stocker, get a bat and get your tail in the manager's office now." So I'm like, we just won 20 innings, and I feel like I'm getting in trouble. So I grabbed a bat, and I went into the manager's office, and we're all in our T-shirts and underwear and flip-flops. I have a bat, and Fregosi's in there with Larry Boa and Dennis Mankey. And they were sitting there making adjustments to my swing. I mean,
in literally. Your underwear.
Oh, yeah, of course. And so,
a lot of bets.
But the point of it is it was a quick lesson, right, where you know, your adjustments are made so quickly. So at 1:30 in the morning, they came in. They saw some things that at the plate that I wasn't doing that they saw in spring training, came in the next day, made those adjustments, and then took off. But I remember that distinctly, but I'll never forget that first game.
Yeah. So we've been talking a lot about, you know, the story of the Phillies offense has been told several times. Go cold a lot, so on and so forth. It looked like they not only were productive in the second half of last game, but they treated the at-bats a little bit differently. Trey taking a walk, Bryce taking a walk, that sort of stuff. Do you think – Bryce has talked a lot about not chasing approach. Are these players who can, at this point in their career, change their approach, or do you think that – it's just going to have to be them doing what they do and it happening to go well, you know, for the rest of the playoffs?
Well, they're going to do what they're going to do. I think it's difficult to ask Trey Turner to go up there and all of a sudden choke up and have this totally different two-strike approach puts him out of his comfort zone. And if you get too far out of that comfort zone, hitting-wise, then you're not thinking about just seeing the ball hitting the ball. In saying that, the other thing that's tough is – we have blown it up about the chase, and it's true. They chase. They're built that way. They have a lot of power, but they chase. The only thing that concerns me, I guess, a little bit is that you talk about it so much, it gets in their head about don't chase, don't chase. And to me, that's such a negative thought, right? Mm-hmm. So in everything that we do in sports, at least that I did, trying to stay aggressive. For example, Harp is great at this. He'll get up there, and his approach is, I'm going to swing. And to the last minute, he'll check swing. Sometimes. A lot of times, he swings through balls. That's an aggressive approach. So for me, I wouldn't want them to be like, "Hey, you know, don't be as aggressive or take till you get to that sort of thing."
Yeah.
But I do think some of their swings, Trey, this is not a knock. This is kind of the new swing that I see. It's where they talk about having a swing that's connected from your hip to your leg, all in the same motion. It's hard to explain in the radio, but when you have this super connected swing, you tend to have the same swing on every pitch. Okay. The same swing, whether it's down or up, it's the same connected, powerful swing. We used to be real handsy. So some guys, and you're seeing it with Nimmo for the Mets. You see it with Marte, where they have these kind of three-quarter swings. That is a real handsy swing. So you're taking the barrel to the baseball, wherever it is.
Let you adjust a little
bit
more.
And you lose a lot of power that way. You do, because you just, you're kind of flipping a lot of times. Like Stott is more handsy. He sees a lot more pitches, tends to foul balls off more. It's a different swing. That was what we all did back in the day. Now it's more of a connected swing. I know I'm getting really technical, but
it's interesting.
It just doesn't induce a swing that sometimes with two strikes, they're swinging for the fences, and they are, and they get a lot of strikeouts.
What do you think about our guy down in the batting cage right now? Boehm.
Alec Boehm.
Yeah. Two-part question.
Okay.
The handling of being benched and coming back in now, and also the pressure that comes with the perception of being benched and now what everybody's expecting of you. Alec Boehm being able to handle that in this moment, how do you feel he's going to be able to handle that?
I think he'll be able to handle it fine. This is what I would say, and I was it's a great question of with Alec. He's not hitting the ball right. So he's done a terrific job this year, in my opinion, playing third every day, which has been great, not taking the offense to the defense, defense to the offense. What's happening now is he's struggling at the plate. So one at-bat, he's taking that at-bat to the next at-bat. Right?
Yeah.
So especially in the postseason, if you're a player who's really scuffling, he's deep in his head, his pitch selection isn't really good. If I'm managing, I need a player up there that can go 0-for-4 with four strikeouts. But if he gets a fifth at-bat, he's already forgotten about those four. Mm-hmm. And you guys know that's really hard to do, to forget about. I mean, to forget about that. So with Alec, I know it was the benching. For whatever reason that happened, I think he just needs to kind of – it's not easy to flip a switch, but I think his attitude will be much better that way. Competing, all of these guys, and I tell you, it's they're at the top of their game, the highest level. They're all competitors. That doesn't mean that they don't need to learn still how to compete.
Right.
And so leadership, your Schwarbers, your Harpers, even Turner to an extent, those guys can really help when you're in a postseason high pressure that you just talked about, trying to get them to separate – and for Alec to separate one at-bat from the other. And I expect him to go out there and be much better today. Run the darn thing out. Run the ball out. Don't throw your equipment. That does stuff. All that does is suck energy out of the team. Alec, I think, just gets focused on the negative, and he needs to change that around, and I think he can.
JT had mentioned after Game 2 that he thought they were maybe a little tight in Game 1, and Harper's home run loosened them up and so on and so forth. You're around the team a lot. I didn't expect tight to be a word that I think these guys
creep in with these guys.
With these particular guys, given what they've been through over the last couple of years, is that something that you've noticed, and have you been in a tight locker room before?
I haven't noticed it with these guys.
Okay.
Yes, I have been in a tight, but I've been in a lot of losing clubhouses, so it's not quite the same.
Don't
these
talk
guys,
about the Rays like that.
Wasn't just the Rays, man. I'm telling you, we had some thin Philly years.
He knows that.
And I wholeheartedly apologize, my man.
Yeah.
But I have not noticed. These guys do tend to stay loose. In saying that, I do think with this club, because of, you know, last year they had to go through the wild card series. They were like the momentum team, right?
Yeah.
Now you have time off, which I do think they really needed, whether it worked or not, just injury-wise. I don't think the right word is necessarily tight, as they're expected to win, and they're expecting to win. So when they go out there and they go six innings and they're not hitting the baseball, they're kind of like surprised, like what's going on? That is where your big moment guys come in, right? Harp. With the big home run, absolutely. Castellanos has had some big hits. Man, it's so impressive how, you know, Harp 2 weeks ago, and then he comes in the postseason and he just elevates and focuses. It's unbelievable how he can do that.
Yeah, you forgot that his arm was hurt. And when he hits the ball halfway up the brick wall the other day.
Right.
It's crazy.
It's unbelievable. There
was a period at which it didn't look like he was going to hit another home run this year. We even did shows where we're like, well, can they get through the playoffs with him as a, you know, putting the ball in play, and then all of a sudden, to Jack's point, he's hitting the ball 500 feet to dead center. You know,
and that, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. I do remember he was going through that, and there was he did some mechanical adjustments where he had to start getting on top of the ball more, just because he couldn't elevate because of the arm and so forth, and then he started hitting more balls the other way in the gap and some doubles. I'm like, oh, his double started to climb. I don't think Thompson would have let him get to this stage without sitting him enough to get the elbow and all that healthy. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So,
what's the key against Sean Manaea tonight for the Phil's offense?
Oh, man, Manaea. Well, he's dropped down, right? He's got this thing. He's really hard to see. They're going to have to try to get him, this is my opinion, get him down in the zone. He's going to throw this sinker up in the zone, and then he's going to spit in some of these secondary pitches that are going to be balls. And that's where the guys like to chase because they get panicky, right? Mm-hmm. Trying to get the fastball or the sinker that he's throwing now down enough to where they can get that ball. And he will give it up.
Yeah.
Sean will give it up.
Why do you think – you look at the splits, right? Lefties are hitting, I think, 50 points higher against them.
I have no idea.
It's very weird.
Isn't that weird?
It's weird. Like, is there any rhyme or reason to that?
Well, he's I have no idea. I really don't know.
Sure.
That's why I switched hit. Back. I didn't want to have to face this guy.
Yeah.
I do think he dropped down. Now, a splits, I would have to go and look because he made this adjustment sometime in late June or July if they're different from then on. But I would say when you drop down like he does, he's more like a Chris Sale, as they're saying. And remember, we're only talking about a couple inches drop. But I think from the left side, these guys, they're getting the sinker in, and sometimes he'll make a mistake maybe over the plate. Versus a righty, he knows he can miss away to a right-hander and not get hurt. Mm. But I really don't have a great answer for you on that.
Kevin,
good question.
Kevin Stocker with us. You know, Rob Thompson has historically been a, you know, rider guys, don't change anything up. You know, these guys got it. And then all of a sudden this postseason, it's – and I we all reacted positively to it. There's benching Bohm, and then there's putting Sanchez in the second spot, which in the rotation for this, which I thought – we all thought made sense, but was a little – you know, it was a...
I didn't like that move.
Oh, really?
No. But you know what? Who am I to say? I'm a bottom line guy, and it worked because I love the fact that Nola's pitching here.
Right. Yeah. Well, but where do you think... It just seems out of character for Rob Thompson a little bit. Do you sense that at all? And if so, where do you think it comes from?
You mean as far as just making... But, not just riding with the same crew all the time?
I think even the extent of platooning Stott, I think, is a real decision in the
sure.
in the postseason. He's a manager that I did not expect those things from, and they're happening at such a crucial time. I just thought it was interesting.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. Now, there's been some. I do think Rob Thompson is a manager that'll clearly use the eye test versus just analytics. Right? He likes the numbers. He'll use those numbers. But you know, if he says Edmundo Sosa when he got that chance to play when Trey was down. Who I thought Sosa was phenomenal for a little while when he played short and was doing that every day, really was a key factor of this team. I think he saw what Edmundo can do, especially when he plays in the middle. Stott as well, I think, was a tough decision not to play him today. It was a numbers game. But I kind of hear what you're saying. I don't know that I have a great answer. I'm a huge fan of managers that put the same crew out, and maybe I'm old school.
Yeah, right? I was going to ask you that.
Fregosi, just here you go. I mean, he just threw guys out there, right? When Terry Francona was the manager in '97, when I played for him, it was a little bit different. I just think right now he's looking at these guys and what they've done. He's had some of it's a gut check. You know, Sosa playing today. He's an energy guy. He hits Manaea. I mean, what is he, 4-for-8 or some? I don't even know. But his numbers are really good. So, yeah, I would have pitched Nola game two. But, again, that was, I think, a really tough decision for him. And I don't think he's the only one making that decision.
Really?
No, of course not. It's a group decision, right?
Yeah,
I mean, I think he clearly is the final decision, but I think they all talk about it.
Yeah.
And I don't know who they are. But
well, that's a healthy – I think it's a healthy way to have an organization. There's no one person – the only one person in the Phillies organization who can say something and it automatically goes is John Middleton.
And Bryce Harper.
Yeah, well, I guess Bryce to a certain extent as well.
Stupid.
Stupid.
Who is that? What is
yes,
that?
Yes.
Yeah,
well, who is Jack Fritz?
Every day. Imagine 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
Imagine
just
4 hours
a nuisance. Just an absolute nuisance.
You know, the other thing I'll say to that I am a firm believer now. And I've seen enough at each level, whether it's college baseball, did that for years, and at the big leagues, that nowadays, when you get to this season, you need all your warriors with some experience. So the young guys, the Sosas, who back in the day, you had a bench guy that would come in, and all of a sudden you'd ask somebody to come in, a Tony Longmire, if you guys remember that, or
yes.
Somebody like that. Hey, lay down a bunt. Well, I haven't done it all year. I haven't really played all year. What you see now is Rob Thompson's really good. He gets everybody quality playing time and in situations throughout the year that they might be used in the postseason.
Like that organ?
Yeah, it's the
loudest organ I've ever.
It's unbelievable.
Good timing.
It's like the AC/DC of organs. What's going on here?
Stock, I know they've been aggressive with getting Johan Rojas out at home at CBP, but given how big that outfield is Johan Rojas a 9-inning player up here? But outside of like a bases loaded one out in like the eighth situation, does Johan Rojas have to play 9 up here?
Up here being at this park?
At this ballpark.
Yeah.
This ballpark. I mean, he's such an advantage out there.
He is. He is. But I also think that teams look at him as an out.
Sure.
So, and we saw it the other day, Clemens pinch hit, you know, even though it was Clemens,
like the fifth
it was
inning.
Early, yeah. Right? And then he came out defensively pretty quick, too, right?
Sure.
But he's out there. I think in the postseason, it's a little different. I think they love his defense. You got to have him. But situationally, you're down by a run late in the game and two guys on. You're going to pinch hit.
My biggest worry, I guess, would be they have a one-run lead and the game's ending with, like, Marsh and Weston Wilson in center.
You don't like Marsh in center?
I don't like Marsh in center.
Is it fair enough to say not as much as Rojas? Because I would rather have him out there than many other.
Yeah, I think right? Marsh can do it. I think Marsh is a fine center fielder. I think he's an elite left fielder. But, like, given how big this ballpark is, and that game Saturday when you guys were here the last time, there was two that fell in.
You're right.
There was Weston Wilson, and it was Marsh. Like, I'd be more wary about pulling Johan here than at CBP.
I think Rob will do everything he can to keep him in there defensively.
Sure.
At the same time, sometimes your hand's forced, right?
Not late in the game and they need a hit.
Yep, it's going to happen.
Totally.
I also think what happened with Marsh a little bit is just it looked like in the first games he was playing in center field, he just didn't have his bearings as to how to break on a ball,
angles?
Where he is. Just almost time, you know. That the more time he's played out there, the better he's got.
Sure. I mean, people always think like, oh, you play outfield, you can play any position.
Yes.
It's like when I played short, oh, you can go play second. I went over to second base a couple times. I'm like, whoa, my gosh. Like, the cutoffs and relays are different. The pop-ups are all the angles are so different. I have to cover in a bunt now. I mean, it is quite different to go from if you're left or right field, you are not the guy, right? Your center fielder is in command, and Rojas is great at that.
Yep.
You go to center as Marsh. Now all of a sudden you're in command and have to be the loudest guy. It can be a little bit of an adjustment.
It's like when Ike went from outside linebacker to edge rusher in 1998. I mean, it's a totally different sport.
Yeah, and that wasn't pretty.
I hear you.
That was not pretty.
Kevin Stocker with us. So, final. I know you're going to give me something positive, but I think it would make us all feel good.
Give us something positive.
You want something negative?
No.
I think,
what's your gut telling you about this? Because I keep wanting to say, we got this. But if I'm being honest, the Mets are terrifying right now. They never stop. It just seems like unless we can find a way to be in the bottom half of an inning on the road, I'm just – So
set him straight.
What
man.
Is
this? This is what I've been dealing with for
Do you
a whole
have to
week.
Deal
yes,
with this?
Yes, yeah. yes. Yeah. Oh, you ought to hear Jack go. He's worse.
Yeah. You know, he's a fan. Again, I ran into a gal working at the ballpark the other day after the loss.
Yeah.
And she literally, her shoulders were slumped over.
Man.
And I said, "What's wrong?" And she's like, "I just can't shake last night." She goes, "How do you guys do it?" And I'm like, "Exactly. Right. It's not easy as an athlete. These guys, how they shake, it's tough." So, yeah, the Mets are.
So, what's your gut tell you?
Like, I feel good about tonight. I feel not as good about tomorrow night.
Okay.
I'm nervous about tomorrow night a little bit.
Yep.
Just because I'm not sure where Ranger is.
Yeah, but we haven't seen him be good since June.
He just hasn't been consistent.
Yeah.
But he's kept the guys – he's kept the team in games.
That's all I need him to do.
Right. Well, yeah.
Well.
In the postseason, it's a little different.
Yes.
Yeah. But you're right. And the thing about Ranger is he spoiled everybody so early, so now that's what I want from Ranger every time, and maybe it's not fair. I like Aaron. I do like Aaron throwing tonight. He's been really good in the postseason. I think he's a pitcher, too, that has proven he can go six or seven innings so the bullpen can be ready for tomorrow.
Yep.
Right.
So if you need to go early to the bullpen, okay, that's a good sign for tomorrow. So I do like tonight's game.
All right. I'll take it. I'll take the positive on tonight.
Wow, that's easy. I had more for you, but we'll just go with that.
Well, I mean, we have Zach. If we win tonight and lose tomorrow, having Zach Wheeler at home, you know, like
it. The other thing is, I'll be honest with you. So the game times are a real thing. The game times.
Because of the shadow
thing.
The shadow is
otherwise.
A real thing. And
okay.
Sean Manaea, where his release point is, you guys will watch the game, and you'll see him out wide and down. It's really hard to pick up. Now, right now, it's overcast, right?
Yes.
If it stays overcast, that'd be great for the hitters.
Yep.
I think Manaea is way tougher to pick up than, let's say, an Aaron Nola. Aaron Nola's release point, to me, is something – his curveball is nasty, but it's different than Manaea where he crossfires. That could be something that's a little concerning, but – I'm praying for a cloud or something to come over here.
Yeah.
Seriously, I'm telling you.
Well, listen, Schwarb just went second deck to the right field.
Did you see that?
That was a
my goodness.
Batting practice. Yeah. I mean, I was the greatest batting practice player ever, and yet I'm a 250 hitter with less than 30 home runs. So, I mean, come on.
Yeah, great on the driving range.
Yeah.
Well, now you're talking about golf. That's no way. Yeah. That's a little different.
All right, man. Well, we appreciate you. You'll be able to hear Kevin tonight during the game, from game three here from Citi Field. We appreciate you coming
Thanks, guys.
Man.
Yeah,
appreciate
you having you guys here.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. Always a pleasure listening to you,
bro. All right, man. Thanks.
You know, spooky season, as they like to call it, is
spooky.
Here. Yeah, spooky season. There is nothing scarier than the car that you're driving, your old bank-up car. So the Car Czar, John Ashdale, wants to help solve that. The team at Colonial, they want to help you ghost your ride this month. Every 2024 Hyundai on the lot needs to disappear like a ghost in the night. Colonial has some scary good deals. Over 200 vehicles in stock. Drive home in Elantra or Tucson or Santa Fe, Kona, whatever. 0% financing for 60 months. They're also going to give you the best trade-in value that you're going to get anywhere. $6,500 for your trade, guaranteed, no matter what condition it's in. Also, every new Hyundai comes – this is not scary at all. This is actually the opposite of scary. Every new Hyundai coming with Hyundai Assurance and America's Best Warranty, a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain. Stay away from the ghouls. Ghost your ride with a deal on a new car that won't come back to haunt you. Online 24/7 at ColonialHyundai.com. Colonial Hyundai, the faster, easier, better way to buy a Hyundai. See dealer for full details. So, Ike, having soccer in here, now we know Jack is our baseball guy. But then when you hear a real baseball guy line up like Stocker, come on, man. You hear what the information's really like when you're not dealing with AAA or you know,
Division three,
you know, Jack over there. Do you hear the difference?
Yeah.
Do you hear the difference, Ike?
I hear it. He doesn't have his head set on.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm doing it. Well, I do it with him there anyway. 215-592-9494. Loretta in Cherry Hill, you're on WIP.
Hello?
Loretta.
Yes, hi.
Do you have any faith in Aaron Nola tonight?
No.
Awesome.
Oh, wow.
Positive.
I'm giving you I'll make it short because I'm not an expert on stats with baseball, but I have season tickets with my son. And okay. I have a group of girls. We watch almost every game, and we always bow our heads when Aaron's going to pitch because
oh my god,
we don't have the faith in him. I mean, we know he comes through, and I argue with my son all the time. He's like, "Who else would you rather have in there?" And I don't have an answer for that. But
well, besides Wheeler,
he turns the ball down the middle. He gives up the home run, and then he's always shocked by it.
And that bothers you?
Yeah, it bothers me. I'm like, you should have figured that out by now. And again, I don't know curveballs from anything, but I know when it goes right straight over the middle and in the middle of the plate, and they hit it and it goes out, and he's surprised. I'm wondering why that is, and he'll give up at least 3 home runs tonight.
All right. Go, Phil.
Wow. You
got to save this call, man.
Wow, Loretta.
Seriously.
Well, you got to save the call. You're the Nola guy.
Of course.
Well, I appreciate it.
Talk some sense into Loretta.
Need that today.
No.
We need that today.
All right.
I know people say we need positivity. I need that kind of call today.
Yeah. All right. We are taking you up until game time today. It is the WIP afternoon show on a business trip. Is that what we're calling it?
Yeah, yes. Okay. Now I understand why we didn't go to break. I was very confused as to what was going on.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I am too.
Well, yeah. Nah, I was trying to do my thing. We're good.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah. Jack's just doing the off-air convo.
Well, I thought you were doing a read, and I was like, all right, we're going to break.
That's not what we call them. And
I thought we were doing something.
Our partner.
I thought we were doing something.
Talking about a trusted partner. We did.
Okay.
But then I needed to talk to Loretta. So.
I love Loretta.
Yes. So.
Nice and miserable.
We are at Citi Field. We will take you up until game time. This is basically your WIP afternoon show, extended pregame show.
Yeah.
Do you trust Aaron Nola tonight? 215-592-9494. Do you trust that the offense has figured it out? This is the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz on a business trip to come win a series in Queens at Citi Field. We are doing the show from the broadcast booth where you'll be able to hear the game on 94 WIP and on the Odyssey app. you can hear on the app, as long as you're, you know, I think within 100 miles of Philadelphia or 50 miles or something like that. It's kind of nice up here doing
yeah,
the show.
Yeah.
You like this?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I do.
I like
and,
it too.
Fans starting to come in.
Yep, I think 2:30 was the time that they started letting people in.
Yeah. Yep. So now it's starting to feel like a game is getting close.
And I think it'll be a pumped up Mets crowd tonight.
Yeah.
I think they like this team. They like that they turned it around. I do think we are going to see more Phillies fans at Citi Field than we saw Mets fans at Citizens Bank Park.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I think we'll have a good contingent of Phillies fans here.
Okay.
I think so. Yeah. I mean I think the game sold out now, but wasn't. These tickets were easier to get directly from
yeah, I heard some callers Mets. Calling up today saying they had got the tickets directly from the Mets.
From the Mets, yeah. So I think we're going
to – Face value, too.
I think we're – and face value not cheap.
Right,
but
right.
And then we'll be with the Fans of Philly group that is here, Fans of Philly,
yeah.
Of course.
Looking forward to that.
Every road game.
I'm curious how tight – if does the ballpark get tight? I know CBP, it was tight the first 14 innings of this series. Are they in such a euphoric state that – they don't have to worry about that. They just believe that the Mets are always going to come back.
I don't think they're tight because I think they think they're always going to come back.
Yeah, I think so too.
And we were doing that. The Phillies were doing that first 2 months
I
of
know.
The year. We always just thought they were going to win. And I think Mets fans are at the point with this team because even though they didn't win on Sunday, they did the same thing that they always do.
I
think these fans are sort of – I don't think you're going to get a tight ballpark in any
But time. It's really important for them to be the aggressors tonight.
Phillies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're on the road, you know, whether it's a bunt, whether it's stealing bases, like be the aggressor and have the Mets on their heels.
Before we get back to the Nola thing, one quick question for both of you guys, and I don't know that you can have an answer for it other than your gut, but we had a leadoff Schwarbaum the other day, and you had mentioned it here. Is there, and the numbers probably don't back this up. It sort of seems like when he does that, we get an immediate – I'm sure I've texted you this over the season. Well, that's the last run we're scoring for
the
six
immediate
innings.
Rush.
Yeah, they get that immediate rush, and it almost seems like it sometimes works against them because they don't pile on top of it. Or I think the leadoff home runs are great. I love to have one run after my first batter of the game.
Uh-huh.
But it does seem like there is something about it where they go quiet after he does that.
Yeah, it's definitely different than years past where it would kind of be like, all right, there's one, now we go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's something to monitor. But ultimately, I'll take the 1-0 lead.
Yeah, so will I.
Yeah, and I think they broke the seal Sunday. I did. I do. I really do. I think they believe they've broken the seal. And a lot of this is mental. A lot of this is the confidence you take when you get in the batter's box. You know, what the Mets have is confidence.
Yes.
That's what they have when they're in the batter's box.
And maybe cheating, but yeah, mostly confidence.
Yeah, yeah, they got the confidence thing going. It reminds you of what the Padres look like when they have it going. And the Phillies have that ability. The Phillies have that ability. And so for me, I here's what I'm hoping the case is that they saw the ball leave out of the ballpark Sunday. They saw themselves get clutch hit after clutch hit from their star players. They got it from their role players. And this was a team that knew for the majority of the season, at least from a National League standpoint, they're the best team in baseball. And maybe that confidence got shaken a little bit along the way because, I don't know, boredom set in. They wanted to get to the postseason. And then you get the first game, Wheeler's on the mound. They're not having early success. And he's pitching well. They started to tighten up in that game. But it all came to a head Sunday afternoon, late Sunday afternoon. And if you're an offense and if they're going to go do what we expect them to do, then they have to find ways to keep that mojo going. They have to find ways. It's like a jumper. A jump shooter he's been struggling for a while. He finally gets them to go in, and it's like, oh, there it is.
Yep.
There it is.
They always say that, you know, even sometimes it's a free throw. They'll say,
yeah.
You just need to see it go through the
rim. Yeah.
You know?
So, that's what I'm kind of hoping with the offense tonight.
215-592-9494. Are you confident that the offense has turned it around, and are you hoping Aaron Nola will be good tonight, or do you expect him to be good? Dan in Downingtown, you're on WIP. What's up, Dan?
A little worried about this conversation that's on the radio today. It's game day in New York, Red October, and we're making small talk about if we can do this, if we can do that.
I think it's breaking down a ball game.
It's a game day.
What do you want us to say? You do a four-hour show
Let them know. Bleep them. Bleep the Mets.
Yeah. Ah, it's Red October. Sunday, you want me to do that for 4 hours?
Everyone's calling in going nuts. We're ready to rock and roll.
Okay.
I love it. It's accountability. This show is about accountability. Keep us held accountable.
Let's do it.
We're X's and O's, baby.
I'm an analyst.
My son has something to say.
Yes.
A staple in New York and get a game five because I got tickets to go there.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what I'm talking about. We got to get you to game five. Hold on, what's your son's name?
Henry. We're at the last year. So we need a redemption game five against the Mets this year.
Is that a family name? God bless Henry. And I hope Henry's coming back. I hope Henry goes to a lot of Phillies games.
Hank.
But if we have the chance to end this in New York, Henry can go to a game next series or something.
I'm sure he would prefer that.
Yes.
All right, Dad. I appreciate it.
So what do you do if you have tickets for game five and there is no game five? They just give you your money back?
You're out of luck.
Yeah, SOL.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Better chance of happening, taking two here or losing two here?
Taking two here.
I think there's a better chance they take two here.
Yeah.
Come on, Spike. It's Red October. Yeah. You heard the caller.
No, not you. I'm not taking that from you. I'll take it from Ike. I'm not going to take it from you.
Why?
Well, because you're a coward just like I am.
I'm a fan.
Well, we have the anti-coward coming up in a moment.
Oh, that's what I need to hear.
First, Joe in Lebanon, you're on WIP.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Joe?
It's Red October, Joe.
Yeah, it's Red October. I'm fired up. I like the last call. But you're a liar.
You don't sound fired up at all.
I'm fired up, but I'm worried.
Do you guys
want to know why I'm worried?
Yes.
Rob Thompson and that bullpen management.
What has he done wrong so far?
I've actually tried to avoid talking about the bullpen today.
Estevez is the only guy in the bullpen you can really trust this series. He threw eight pitches in the eighth inning.
Did you start watching the Phillies on Saturday?
And you put Strom in against three righties in the ninth inning. After he got lit up the night before. What are we doing?
He put in Strom to get Lindor to bat righty. Lindor's not a natural righty, and he was getting there for Nimmo.
But why not keep Estevez in? He threw eight pitches.
Because that's not how modern bullpens work.
Yeah, but it's got to be. I mean,
no, it doesn't.
You got to go with the hot hand.
How is Estevez hot?
Because he's the only guy that has not gotten lit up in any way in the bullpen this series.
Hold on. This series is two games. Estevez has gotten lit up. Hold on, though, Joe.
No, it's not.
Go back the last 2 weeks, and you tell me how many times Estevez got hit hard. Estevez got hit hard at least five times. I think he allowed runs in three or four straight outings. He is a fine bullpen guy.
We're going to need him tonight.
He's a fine bullpen guy. But he is – you cannot go through the entire year what you saw out of Strom and Hoffman and say to yourself – there's a lot of things you can get on Rob Thompson about, but going to his best relievers in the playoffs, in the first two games of the playoffs, I don't know. He's not magic. At a certain point, Strom's got to get Vientos out, and Hoffman can't blow up and give up a one-nothing lead. Hoffman's been their best reliever all year long.
Yeah, but you got to go with what's best right now.
But that's not how it – what are you talking about? It was game one.
You have to.
Just because he pitched well in game two doesn't mean – Oh, my God, congratulations, having hindsight. Like, that's all this is. This is nothing. That's all it is hindsight because he pitched well for one inning. What about game one? Would you have gone to him in a 1-0 spot in the eighth?
Yeah.
No, you wouldn't have. Stop. You're lying. I mean, you're
I would.
No, you wouldn't have.
Who would you go to, Hoffman or Estevez tonight?
I would go to Hoffman. He's their best reliever.
Really?
He had a 2 ERA. What are you talking about?
Okay. Well, I hope it works out if it happens. But if you look at the postseason the past couple of years, the bullpen struggled. Look at Kimbrel last year.
Awesome. Kimbrel's not here.
You don't think that Jeff Hoffman has been better this year than Kimbrel was cooked when he put the game. You think Jeff Hoffman and Max Strom were cooked?
You have to roll with the hot – you didn't know
Estevez was going to pitch as well as he did in game one. What are you talking about?
For this game, you have to roll with who's better. Just like Bohm didn't play last game, you just roll. Like, Bohm was an all-star.
All right.
So was Strom and Hoffman, but that doesn't mean you have to pitch them.
Can I ask you something? Was Castellanos good in game one?
No. And he wasn't
should they have sat him? Should they have sat him?
No.
Why not?
Because who are you going to put in for him?
You could put anybody in for him. It's right field. You could put Austin Hayes in for him. You could put Cody Clemens in for him. You could put Weston Wilson in for him. There's plenty of guys you could put in for him. So he was bad in game one, but then you're saying that Estevez is hot because he had one good inning. Just like Nick Castellanos
is hot
cold.
Maybe hot was the wrong term, but I'd say they haven't done any damage to him like they've done the other guys.
It makes sense, but it was one inning. I appreciate the – I'm sorry Jack got
man,
so mad at
your head off. Bit the guy's head off.
Well, just,
it's okay.
Joe, me and Ike think you did great. And, Jack, we'd rather have you.
We're all fired up for the same cause. We want the Phillies to win. And I hope Rob Thompson makes the best moves in the world.
Joe, here's what I'm going to say.
Go Fightins!
The show is going to be – the WIP afternoon show with Ike, Spike, and Joe instead of Fritz, if he can't handle himself.
Manager Joe.
Man, can you imagine if Ike handled people about football the way that you handle people with baseball?
It's known to happen every once in a while. At least once a season, somebody pushes.
I'm sorry. Was there not a freak out about a guy who was – Ike called him – this is the worst type of fan when talking about Jalen Hurts a year 2 weeks ago. So, yes. It's okay. I mean, it's a passionate show.
Yeah.
It's just that's the most hindsight thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
There are some times when you can judge a manager's decision.
Jose Ruiz in the sixth is an issue.
Yes, I agree.
When Chris Sanchez is pitching well, you can't because Estevez pitched well in game two, think that he should have pitched in game one when Hoffman's pitched
two. No, he actually just thought that Estevez should stay in, and Estevez is one ink. Anyway, it is that time of year. You know, our windows are wide open here because it's a beautiful day.
And the organ.
You can hear the organ. But your windows in the winter are going to be closed. And if you do not have if you have those old drafty windows there, the cold air is going to get in. You got to do something about that. You got to go Gaida. And they are hooking you up right now because they know you waited too long. So they're hooking you up and making the deal more affordable. Buy one, get one half off. Buy a window, get a window half off. Buy a door, get a door half off. There's no limit. You buy 100 doors. The next 100 doors are going to be half off. Buy 100 windows. And you can mix and match. You do your whole house. Half that house is going to be 50% off. And they're going to make it easier for you by letting you start the project with no money down. And they're going to give you interest-free financing up to 18 months. This is only going to happen for a limited time. There are restrictions. So here are your marching orders, my friend. Call 877-GO-GUIDA. Schedule a free, no-obligation in-home estimate. Or go to goguida.com. That's goguida.com. I started laughing thinking about how Jack crushed that guy. The poor guy was just like,
to give you his baseball thoughts.
I just want the Phillies to win.
No, it's good. It's good. And bullpen conversation, real quick. Yes. I'd be curious to see. I think he's got to find some time to get Alvarado in. I know it's tough to say, but again, he's been off for a long time. And if we're going to give up if we're going to talk about rust with Hoffman and Strom, you can't let him just – because you're going to need him tomorrow.
Would you put Alvarado in a game with a man on base? Because here's the situation I'm thinking about.
Okay.
It's the sixth or the seventh inning. Nola goes into the inning, walks a guy, you know, and a guy steals second.
Are you talking about like the sixth inning?
Sixth, seventh inning, something like – sixth inning. Sixth inning. Do you put Alvarado in with a guy on base?
Yeah.
A lefty.
I still think he has strikeout stuff. So I would go Alvarado early. I think both could pitch tonight. But I just think more tomorrow, I think you're going to need Alvarado. Because, again, we don't know how far Ranger's going to go. So I'd rather have him get something. Now, it's hard to say because Nola could go eight. Yep. And you're not even worried about it. But getting his feet wet a little bit in this series I do think is kind of important.
The guy that's going to get us fired up for the game tonight is on the line. Rios in North Philly, you're on WIP.
Gentlemen, I have one caveat. Just getting home with my daughter. Can y'all put me on hold and right on the next segment?
Okay.
Yes, we can.
You kidding me? Yes.
Rios knows how important he is.
Yes.
We need to put him in a spot to succeed. I always say that with our regular spot to succeed. Now, Chuck, also hype man as well. Chuck, you're on WIP.
I'll tell you, Rios has surpassed me. You know what I mean? This is his afternoon show. Each time you call up, say, listen, give me on the next segment. That's some boss movement right there. Hey, listen.
Well, he knew he couldn't give us what we needed from him with his daughter being right there. So it's all good.
Rios is on another level right now. He surpassed me. You know what I mean? I'm just another guy on the show. But, Jet, I'm calling to address you.
And okay,
your fuck-ass attitude about baseball. See, you think you only want to know about baseball. You know what I mean? See, everybody knows about baseball. You know what I mean? You ain't the only one. Baseball's been here before you was born. It's going to be here long after you're gone, okay? You ain't the only one to know about baseball, okay, Jack? But let me tell you this, because I sent you something the other day. You made me feel some type of way. You had me thinking about myself. And that's when Zach Wheeler was kicking out the game. You made me feel like this low. You made me feel real low for thinking that Zach Wheeler shouldn't have been taken out the game. You know what I mean?
Well, what did he, hold on. What did he say to you? What did he say to you, Chuck?
I said, listen, Chuck, if you're like, this is, you kept texting me over and over and over again. And it's like,
this is during the game?
I get your opinion. That's fine. I can't take it. I'm stressing out because the Phillies are losing a game one of the playoffs. And it's like, this, then whatever. Like, you weren't pitching Wheeler 130 pitches in the first game of the playoffs. Like, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that they pulled him, but you weren't doing that.
Hold up.
That seems reasonable.
Jack. You got a smug tongue when it comes to baseball. You hear me? You got a sharp
tongue.
I know.
I'm aware.
And listen, here's the thing, right? Everybody, you know, don't think the way you do when it comes to baseball.
Well, that's their fault.
Be on the baseball, okay? People know baseball. You ain't got to be the only one to know baseball, okay? And I know the Phillies tonight when it kicks the Mets' ass. Now, is that simple enough for you? Because it
Thank
seems
you.
Like when I go to X's and O's when it comes to baseball, you think I don't know what I'm talking about. But I do. You need to start respecting my baseball expertise. And that gentleman that just called up, all he wanted to do was get his baseball point across, and you ripped his head off, man.
Listen, I ripped off Corey's head yesterday. I ripped off your head via text message. It's the playoffs, man. I'm locked in.
This is how he is. Chuck, the other day, he was screaming profanities in front of a little girl, and I had to tell him to chill out. This is how he is.
I paced around the ballpark.
He's a maniac, man. You know what I mean? He's a maniac. A sandal-wearing baseball maniac. That's what he is. You know what I mean?
I like you throwing the sandals thing in there because it does mean something.
Have you seen the Mandals this postseason? I've seen the Mandals once.
No, I haven't seen it. Where's it?
Well, you're walking around in Allbirds like you're a tech bro or something.
Bro, I could easily – don't get me in front of a computer. I could break that thing down.
Oh, my God. Jack is losing it, man. Hey, listen. Tonight, though, man, listen. You got to do it, man. You know, AI. Represent down there, brother. Okay.
I got us. Listen, if I got to start throwing punches, I got us.
Whoa.
Yeah, represent down there, man.
Oh, here we go. The last time Ike was on the road, we almost got a fist to cuffs in Houston. I got to go to the bathroom. I got
to
go to the bathroom to cool himself off. He thought it was Miles Austin right in front of him. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to take the crew with you, man. You know what I mean? You got callers here, man. You know what I mean? You need to get.
Well, yeah, I need callers, not these two. I don't need these two. I need callers. I need you and Rios.
You know what I mean? You know, but, you guys, we got to do it tonight, man. I tell you, listen, I trust the bullpen, though. You're going to Schramm, you're going to Hoffman. I trust those two. Alvarado, to me, you know what I mean? He's been too rested. I don't want to put him out there. Cause, you know, if he's not sharp, he doesn't bring nothing to the table. You know what I mean? So I don't want to put him out there. I'll trust those two in the bullpen. And I like our closer. I like to give him another opportunity out there. And Bryce is going to be locked in. I don't trust Nola. We got to score about seven runs tonight, six to seven runs tonight to win this baseball game. I don't trust Nola. I'm telling you that right now. You know, he's just too shaky for me. I know that's your guy. And I don't trust
him at
all.
He got us. He got us tonight, Chuck. Don't worry. He's got us tonight. Don't worry. Listen, I actually like the fact that there are a fair amount of people that's nervous
doubters
with Nola, because when we're too confident in Nola,
yes,
it doesn't really turn out well for us. So I'm okay with it, Chuck. I think he shows up for us tonight.
Hey, Spike.
Yes, sir.
Don't get lost down there. You hear me? Stay close to Ike and Jack. You hear me? Stay close to Ike. You know what I mean?
Dude, I know it. Look, Mr. Tough Guy Ike, when we walked out of our hotel, look, it wasn't just me saying, we'll stay close to the hotel.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not leaving more than two blocks
Yeah,
from
let's.
Here, yes.
No, Ike obviously can handle himself in fisticuffs better than me.
Don't want to.
Yeah, but let's not act like Ike was walking around down here, you know, Mr. Tough Guy. No, absolutely not.
No, you know, Ike, what he do, man. Get me up out of here. You know,
that's right.
All right.
Time to go, Chuck. Time to go.
All right, Chuck.
All right, Chuck.
See you, man. The Twitter question is sponsored by Mark's Jewelers, the official jeweler of you. If you're looking to get engaged, shop the home team at Mark's Jewelers with rings for every budget online at marks-jewelers.com. Bigger worry for you tonight, the offense or Aaron Nola. 80% say the offense.
Yeah.
The official pre-game show. Now, we're ending the pre-game show.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But we're going to start the official pre-game show next, leading off. It's the WIP Afternoon Show on a business trip in Citi Field with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.